Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Joining us today is Josef Gross, CEO of BBC Bircher Automation. Josef, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Josef is a leader who believes that real transformation starts with people. Josef has been steering Bircher through an exciting turnaround, focused on building trust, empowering teams, and creating a culture where change feels natural. His philosophy is simple but powerful. Say what you do, do what you say. It's this straightforward approach that's helping shape Bircher's new era of growth, energy and purpose. BBC Bircher Automation specializes in the design and manufacturing of smart control cabinets for a wide range of industrial applications. We will be talking about the history of the company. That's where I wanted to start. BBC Bircher Automation has over 60 years of history. What would you say has shaped and this identity and development over the decades? It's impressive, I would say.
Yeah, sure. I think the unifying factor is customer proximity and entrepreneurship. We are part of the BBC group, and our owner, entrepreneur George Aubert, was known for finding the opportunities and through entrepreneurship shaping it over the time. So obviously 60 years is a long period, but if there is something that one would say is unifying from the very beginning up to today, it's this customer proximity and entrepreneurship of the team that is leading this company.
Of course, the company is from Switzerland, if I'm not mistaken. But now we are in Czech Republic, right? We are in your company here in Hranice na Moravě. When did it start? I mean, the transition to Czech Republic? Because if I'm not mistaken, now it's more of a Czech company than Swiss company, right?
Or, well, we actually say we are an international company.
Yeah,
we are serving or partnering with companies that are typically Central European. The biggest markets for us are Switzerland and Germany. And how and why the transition happened? One of our key international partner decided to build industrial base in Hranice, Czechia. And they have actually asked us if we want to be part of this transformation or reallocation. And we have agreed, and that's why and how it all started.
Mm. How would you rate this move?
Well, obviously, as I sit here, and as we became, let's say, headquartered here, it's been successful. Actually, it wasn't intended like that at the very beginning, because it was supposed to be the production center of the group. But because as we have been close to the customers, as we have been executing projects together with the customers, we have been building the expertise here. And as we actually built the complete expertise here, it was obvious that we decided to stay here, and we feel happy about the decision, and we are glad to be here.
Mm. Did you need to make some changes internally to make this move, as swift as possible?
Well, obviously, it was coming in phases, and it was, in a way, gradual development, because at the beginning, we had the two teams, the Swiss team and the Czech team. But as the production was developing, as the business was growing, and as the responsibilities here have been step by step reallocated, it was a process that one may say feels now natural, feels smooth. But obviously, I am fast forwarding 20 years of development. And just like any transformation, it had its ups and downs. By the way, it also included the COVID period. So you can imagine that nothing was super smooth. But, you know, looking back and, as I said, fast forward 20 years, it feels like a natural, positive development.
Obviously, we are here talking about transformation of this company, right? So that's something that I want to lean in a little bit more. What would you say was the hardest part of this transition?
Well, the transformation is always something that majority of the organization resists. It's something that needs to be, let's say, supported by a vision. So at the beginning, there's a leader, there's a vision, and that needs to trigger and spark the leadership team. So I would say, as I have done many transformations in the past, I would say the initial step is kind of always the same, you know, finding the people that will go with you. If needed, you know, bring somebody from outside to strengthen the transformation, the team for transformation. Sometimes it also requires to say, you know, to somebody that, you know, the role in the company has been completed and there's a time for change.
Yeah.
But then the toughest piece is pushing it through the whole organization, because obviously when you go down to the teams, everybody in the team feels like, yes, transformation, all good. But in the end, you know, I don't need to transform because, yes, I've been doing it. Everything's fine. Why should I change? So I would say the transformation and what is tough is, you know, pulling it over time and making sure that, you know, step by step, you have a buy-in and you're actually convincing majority up to the whole organization.
Can you maybe elaborate a little bit more on the state of the industry right now? Because we were talking about it before we started this shooting, that there are some major problems, right? And you need to deal with that. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. I mean, we're in the automation business. So we are very much connected to the German market.
Yeah.
Obviously, different machinery verticals, inclusive automotive. So this business was going fantastically all the way up to the COVID time. Then it was even kind of boosted. So one may say it was almost like anabolics because it shot up even more. But, you know, underneath there was something already, you know, signaling that this will not stay forever and that will not be, you know, an easy expansion of the past success. So yes, indeed, currently there are significant changes, there are significant challenges, and it is coming from the German industrial success changing and obviously the automotive industry undergoing a major transformation. And the transformation means tougher times for Europeans and tougher times also for some of our customers.
Did you start these preparations in time, would you say?
I think I had the advantage because I've been in this business more than 20 years and I was running a European business and been very close to a Chinese colleague running Asia, American colleague running America. So I was always interested in understanding the full picture, you know, how the global business is developing. Right. And obviously you could feel that, you know, what was triggering the success in the early 2000 or up to 2020 was something different than what is actually influencing the business today. So, yes, I think I was a bit earlier anticipating that we need to change. And I think this is also what is helping us now, because today many companies are struggling or at least figuring out what should be the future business model, how should they actually run the business. We've done this exercise 2-3 years ago, and because we have redefined how to go into market, we feel we are, you know, better prepared, and even we are already seeing the results, the first results of what we have, you know, decided to do different and doing it, I guess, earlier than the rest of the market.
What helped you see these changes or these signals that something is changing? Was it your experience? Or
yeah, I think first of all, I think I have a good network all over Europe.
Okay.
So, you know, just exchanging with colleagues, partners, suppliers, competitors, you know that things are happening. So often the companies based in this geographical arena are somehow not seeing the or not feeling the signals early enough. I think I had this advantage understanding the business of our customers firsthand,
yeah,
and then being ready for, you know, anticipating that we need to change just like our customers are changing. So I think it was the network, the 20 years of, you know, experience, expertise, and the knowledge base that allows you, you know, independent when you're sitting and, you know, what you're doing during the day, you connect with people online, offline, and get a feeling what's happening and what is driving the changes or what is driving the market.
All right, so going back to the transformation as itself here in BBC Bircher, what was the like the first step that you had to make in order to things start moving, right? So what did you?
I was brought in early 2022, so for me this was like the end of the COVID times, and obviously every company in our business was damaged because the supply chain crisis damaged the operations.
Yeah, it was broken, right?
It was destroyed. I mean, we had quite nice processes digitalized, but they were based on the quality of data and reliability of our suppliers. And this overnight disappeared. And because of that, you know, missing quality, in other words, the data quality, we started improvising. So when I entered, I felt, you know, the first thing is we need to stabilize the operation. Then we needed to look at the end-to-end process, you know, from whom and how we are targeting the ideal customer profile and how we are, you know, going after stabilizing the current partnership and going for the new partnerships. And then obviously how we execute our orders. So it was the transformation which was going from, you know, stabilizing, then reviewing where we are, and then step by step going for other priorities as we have identified and stabilized something, and then move to the next.
From my understanding, you had to readjust, I would say, the relationships with your customers, right? They had to change. Can you talk more about how?
Yeah, I mean, actually, we have a diverse customers, partly diverse geographically, diverse with their focus or which verticals they're targeting. And for example, we had a customer who was purely in automotive, and their value add was they were providing solutions which speeded up the production process. So when it was about backlog, their business was booming. But when it was more about we need orders, their business died.
Yeah.
So that's one extreme. But let's say overall, our customers have been changing, you know, how they have been successful and what we needed to quickly analyze, assess, and readjust was whom do we need to strengthen the relationship and how do we need to, you know, bring in another partners in order to keep the proper productivity, production utilization, in the end deliver the desired results that allow reinvestment because we are, let's say, the company which always wants to be ahead of the others, which requires, you know, investing and innovating.
What about your sales process? I'm told that there were some changes too, in terms of people, in terms of process itself.
Yeah, sure. As we touched the business development, let's say during the COVID time, the business development almost died because it was more like, you know, surviving and maintaining the current relationships. So we needed to readjust, and that meant also, you know, changing the profiles and the competencies of the business developers.
Yeah.
So we in the end made quite a radical change, which was, you know, we needed to replace the existing business developers because they were more like a key accounts, and brought in the guys who had a clear target, which was hunting for new business. And that was the big change. Maybe also good to explain how is our process and how long does it take?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So we are in B2B and typically it takes 6 to 24 months to actually identify, convince and start the partnership. So obviously it takes a little bit of time to judge if the current guy is the right guy, if the new guy will be the good guy. And still, that means another year plus until the business is up and running, because we start with prototyping, we start with smaller projects, up to, you know, going into the bigger one. So it's a quite challenging business to make sure that you have the right guys and the right guys are actually delivering the right results.
Would you say this is your most advantage to like finding the right guys, as you said, who will done the business development like correctly? And
I think it's a very good point, and I think you hit the good element of success, because our business was traditionally rather reactive business. You know, the companies have been happy with the customers they had. They added here and there a customer. More or less, the customer was looking for a supplier rather than, you know, the supplier was looking for customers.
And the people are maybe rather, I would say passive, right? Or
yeah, it was more like, you know, I wait until something comes, then,
exactly.
I offer. Yeah. If the customer likes it, I deliver.
And that's it. Job done. Yeah. Right.
So now it's very different, because if you need to bring, you know, more business, if you need to grow your customer base, obviously it doesn't happen out of your office. It needs to be happening out there, you know, close to customers. And for that, you need also different profiles, because you need to smartly combine the online, offline ways of targeting and opening the new partners.
You were also mentioning one of the hardest part was to actually sold the idea of this transformation to the people working here. Can you talk more about how did you do it? Was it again finding the right people, or maybe persuade the right people? What was it?
I mean, I actually learned that, you know, the power of vision is the best trigger for those who have it in there, and you just, you know, trigger and then they follow you and then run next to you. So obviously you get the first guys quite easily, because you come in, you have a vision, and the vision is make this company, you know, great again, so successful. The others, they actually follow you only if they understand that you're not just talking, but you're actually delivering. And that's the very simple claim: do what you say what you do. And if this is delivering results, then actually it's mainly job done, because then you are left with guys who probably, you know, either will never make it or will decide they will never make it.
How do you work on this on a day-to-day basis? Because, I mean, this must be an ongoing process, right?
Yeah, the beauty is if you have a agile team, which is used to working, you know, very operational in a very agile way, you know, every day brings something new. Every day is, you know, inspiring you, you know, one day up, the other day down, so then again up. So I say if you go one step back, but two step forward, you are still developing in the right direction. So actually the transformation is a process, progress and alignment. And every day brings you something what you've planned, just like what could not be anticipated.
When did you start to see the first results of this transformation?
Well, as I've been going through transformations all my life, or at least my past 20 years.
Yeah.
So I started, you know, getting a good feeling even a few weeks into the job.
Okay.
And, but that was the gut feeling. That was when I felt that even though the first feeling is, you know, you enter the company which, you know, doesn't know that the transformation is needed and doesn't know how to make the transformation. But then I've realized that, you know, you could trigger and excite the first followers relatively quickly. So it was subjectively quite quick.
How about the management in Switzerland, right? Is it something that they want to discuss with you? Is it something that, or your hands are completely free in these matters? How is this conversation going between you and the Swiss?
Well, actually, my experience with Swiss is they are, I say, they're on one hand total opposite to us because they first very much plan before they act, we pretty much act and then maybe plan.
Yeah.
But I think they're similar, at least, you know, within our company. It's a relatively small industrial group and they're used to deciding quickly. And, you know, my boss and the owner, they can read the situation quite easily, so you don't need to explain things too much. And I even felt like, you know, I've gained the trust extremely fast, even before the results came, because I felt they could judge if, you know, you're the right guy with the right vision turn into the right strategy execution. So I felt extremely happy about how I interacted with my counterparts in Switzerland.
Can you maybe like compare this these principles that you are talking about with other companies that you've been working in and or working with? Because I think this is something a little bit unique, right? How the company, the headquarters, are seeing their companies in Czech Republic, right? Is it something you would say is a little bit unique, more unique?
I think there's two angles how to look at it, because I started with the U.S. corporation, but at the fantastic times when you know, they were really excited about developing this market.
Yeah.
Then I was with Dutch, I was with Italians, I was 20 years with Germans, now with Swiss. So I think one angle is when you have worked in this international environment, because that's also changing significantly. And yeah, then it's what kind of company you are working for. And typically, the bigger the company, the tougher it gets to actually figure out how to do what you believe is the right thing and convince your counterparts in the most efficient way. So if I give an example, you know, in Germany, when the companies were smaller and more entrepreneur-like, it was very similar to how is it today in Switzerland. But because these companies grew bigger, they also got more complex and sometimes with their decision making also more complicated.
You mentioned having a unique structure of team leaders, right? That's something we discussed a little. What makes it different? What would you look for in these people, right? If you are looking for, I'd say, a manager or business developer, what are the character skills that you are looking at?
Yeah. Well, we are engineering and production company.
Yeah.
So we have different teams. We have different requirements how to manage, develop the teams. So I was in a way lucky that majority of the team leaders or the potential team leaders have been, you know, in the company, and it was just, you know, somehow coaching them lead their teams. Plus for some roles, I needed to bring in somebody and that person developing her own team. So, so it's a mixture based on, you know, what's the team and is it, you know, the person developing from inside or already inside in the role, or is it somebody that was brought from outside because the skills and even the team did not exist at that time?
Let's look ahead a little. What are your biggest plans looking to the future?
Well, actually, the key thing is now how to continue the growth in a proactive way. Because obviously we need to scale the production and we need to do it in a professional way. Mm. So we continue being the professional partner for our customers. So this is how to align the business development, our great, you know, German colleagues out there, with our capacities and capabilities. So this is delivering the growth that we are aiming for and we started delivering. So we believe, even though the market is tough, even though there will be some nasty news, there will be some, let's say, companies going out of business or simply closing because the succession planning does not exist. But we want to be those who will, you know, benefit from the business that will be out there in the future and want to develop it in a professional way. So we are becoming and maintaining the right partner for more and more partners.
Mm. Is there any advice you would give to anybody going through transformation in their company?
First of all, you need to, I mean, this is a little bit like DNA. I mean, it's you have the motivation, you know, the internal and external. So somebody who doesn't believe in transformation and has never been through transformation is probably difficult to advise. Maybe the advice is stay where you are and hope that it will be enough. Mm. And if you're not 30, you may be lucky. But the advice is, you know, have bold plans, have a vision, and believe that you will make the vision happen, and don't get distracted, don't get discouraged by little challenges, failures, problems, because this is part of the journey. But if you believe, you know, you've set the right vision and you have the right team to make it happen, it's, you know, transformation is great. If you want to deliver something in your role and you want to look back and say, you know, it was, you know, it was something that we have achieved here.
We were talking here about the state of the industry a little bit. Looking ahead, aren't you a little bit skeptical about what is going on the market? Or are you looking to the future with a smile on your face?
Yeah, I mean, smile is part of the professional attitude. But yeah, I mean, the future of industry in Europe is going to be very different to what we were used to. But obviously, it will, you know, something will stay. And you, if you can choose, and if you're, you know, understanding what is it today and what is it in the future, it will be fun. I mean, there will be need for industrial companies in Europe. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there will be a lot of companies that will simply not continue the business. Some will even, you know, not continue by no choice. So, you know, going out of business, some may be, you know, sold. So, I mean, we believe that if you have the right people and the right vision, you will be successful independent on how the overall industry will look like in a couple of years from now.
Josef Gross, thank you very much for doing this. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Pleasure.